Good morning. It's so exciting to be here, and it's my first time using the headset, so this is pretty weird, not gonna lie. But I am really excited to just kind of get into what the Lord has kind of put on my heart since kind of January, but I didn't like write it out until much, much later, but it's okay. So anyway, actually, I'm going to start with some prayer. So if you wouldn't mind bowing your heads with me. So dear Lord, thank you so much, first of all, for just being able to gather here together as a church, as a community, as a family. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful opportunity that we get to stand up together and just kind of explore your word more and encourage each other and get to learn a little more about you each and every week. And please prepare my words, Lord, as I'm speaking what you have placed on my heart, and please use my words to express what you want everyone in here to hear today. In your name we pray, amen. So, I'd also like to quick thank everyone for everyone's support, because I've actually like known that I wanted to be a pastor since I was about 9 years old, which is about half my life ago, actually, which is crazy. And no one ever shot it down, but they actually just encouraged me. And I got to explore fine arts, which allowed me to do short sermons under 5 minutes in front of judges who helped kind of give me some critiques. And I got to be a guest speaker at Evan and Grace's Quest Church in Del Rapids and here. And yeah, I just wanted to thank you guys so much for always being willing to let a teenager be up here, because not gonna lie, I don't know if I would have let a teenager be up here. So this is really, it means like so much to me, which actually kind of leads me to kind of what the whole point of what I'm talking about is, that the Lord's timing is always going to be perfect. But, you know, we say that and then it's a whole other thing to like live by it. But actually, and I experienced this firsthand when I found out I got the calling 9 years ago, and all I remember from that moment was immediately like, I have to go. Like, I need to go right now. But I was 9. I didn't have a job. I didn't have anything. I didn't have money. And I was like, I need to go to college right now. I need to get out there. And God was like, actually, you have to graduate high school first. So I got to sit back and kind of question, like, but I knew so early, why can't I just jump right into it? If you told me now, what do I do about it? And actually, he did kind of give me an answer, which is in Isaiah 55, verse 8. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." Declares, not says, declares. And so I saw that and I was like, okay, that's a little vague, but I'll accept it because you kind of have to. So I went through school. I had to go through high school, and I had actually a lot of seasons of doubt where I would think I wasn't doing enough. I had the knowledge, but what was I doing to further that? It kind of felt like nothing, and to be honest, yeah, I didn't really do much at times. But without the knowledge, high school would have been a lot harder than it was. As I watched all my friends have the pressure from peers, from adults, asking, what are you going to do, and they didn't know, I had the security to fall back on that I did know. And in times of doubt, that's always what I felt like, despite always wishing that I was already there, that I didn't have to go through what I did to get to here now. So God knew, you know, I always wondered why I knew at such a young age, but God knew. From the moment he created the earth, he's like, I'm going to tell Madeline at 9 years old that she's going to be a pastor in about 10 years. And so that was pretty cool, but it's hard when God tells us to do something, but he also says, not yet. There are a lot of times when we want to rush his timing. And speaking from experience, there are a lot of times when I rushed into a lot of things that immediately backfired, or I wanted to rush out of things, which also backfired. I had a teacher, actually, this last year, who told my class she was going to give up coffee right that second, forever, because she thought it was like a bad addiction for her. The next day, we come into class, and she's like, guys, I cracked. I couldn't do it. It was awful. I had like a withdrawal. It was bad. So trying to just kind of stop just immediately leads to like frustration, fear, and a lot of kind of failure and disappointment. And one particular biblical character, he really rushed out of a situation that he really thought he never would return to again, but God actually really needed him to go back. And by returning, it led to the release of God's entire people from slavery. And by returning to the past, by him following and trusting God's timing and not his own, it was really important in his story. His name was Moses. Yay, I love Moses. He's one of my favorite characters. And when I was starting this, I was kind of going through, because there are all biblical characters go through something so important, but Moses in particular stood out to me just because of how he grew up amidst the people who had put his people in slavery. And then he left and built an entire life for him. He got married. He had children. He finally had like a true father figure. But then he had to go back. And I don't think he wanted to. Because in Exodus 2, it's actually very interesting that in Exodus 2, verse 11, it says, this is before he left, but it says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. It's very interesting that Moses knew he was a Hebrew, but we don't know whether or not he was raised with love by the Egyptians or if they were just raising him because. By repeating twice that he knew who his people were, it reiterates the fact that he knew who his God was and where his faith had to lie and his loyalty. Excuse me. So Moses, he grew up in the Egyptian culture, watching his people go through slavery, and he didn't know the reason behind why he was spared the fate of all the other newborn boys that were killed. But he really wanted to protect his people despite this. And God's particular timing in letting Moses live with the Egyptians and be spared set up so many moments that showed God's power and glory and love resulting in the plagues and the blessings. So if we skip forward to Exodus 2:12, we see looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Then we skip forward to verse 15 that says, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Moses did a really bad thing, and we all see that, and we all know murder is wrong. And Moses knew it was wrong, too. That's why he ran. But that was the only way he saw that he knew how to protect his people at that moment, because he knew who his people were, and he wanted to protect them. And God used this as a way for Moses to explore who he truly was supposed to be. Because he ran after that, and God used that to put him in the desert. And, you know, we look at that, and it kind of made me think about, like, what really is fear? And I kind of Googled that because Google kind of, I don't know, it knows most things. It's good for dictionary-wise. And it says that it's an emotional state alerting your person to a threat, either physically or emotionally / mentally. And so Moses was, like, really afraid. He had, like, the adrenaline rush. He didn't think twice. He just booked it out of there. And God actually used that fear to put him far, far out in the desert where he spent years, literal years, just rebuilding a new life. And God blessed him in that. It was a space where neither Egyptian nor Hebrew knew him. And so he was able to pursue who he was meant to be without all the stereotypes or expectations kind of hanging over him. He was able to just be a man pursuing God. And that was really good for him. God really blessed him in that. But as all of us know, life is never quiet for long. And something came up, because God does need us to do his work. He gives us rest periods, but that's always rest for us to grow and regain strength for what's about to happen next. Challenges come up in daily, I come home from work and my emotions are always varied. It's either I had to deal with some emotions that I didn't expect to deal with, either for me or with the people I was working with, or I had to be the bigger person despite being among like adults or people who should already be the bigger person too. And it's pretty difficult sometimes. One of the worst feelings you can experience is the feeling of like going backwards in something that you thought you had already gone through. For me, my personal story is more or less about my high school experience. And everyone goes through high school differently. I was really thankful for looking back. Obviously, it wouldn't change a thing because without it, I wouldn't be who I am today. But it was really, really hard, just mentally and physically. I walked in and people unintentionally, I think, just put expectations on how they thought I should act. And the minute I tried to act outside of that, they noticed and they didn't like it. And it was very interesting because every summer would come and it was like a breath of fresh air. All my insecurities, all my anxieties went like poof. And I was able to just live. I worked. I had a great time. And I was like, perfect. I'm so ready for school to come back in. And then I go in and it's immediately back in the box. Expectations. Don't act outside of this. Don't be friends with anyone outside of this. And that hurt a lot. It was very clear, people's thoughts and expressions, even though, honestly, no one really cares, but they really thought they had to. They really thought they had to care. And it was a repeating cycle all 4 years. It's pretty sad. And Moses was faced with a request from God that actually required him to go back. And Moses really tried to do everything to not. He did not want to go. We've known the story for a while, but he gave excuse after excuse of why he was the wrong person, why he would mess up, why God chose wrong. And God was very patient with him. And that just shows like how wonderful God's character is in that moment. Because he sat there and he listened and he's like, yes, but that's the point. You're not good enough. I am, and I chose you. You're who I'm going to use. Someone who has these experiences is able to go back in and let me work. People aren't going to notice that unless it comes from you. So, going to Exodus 4:21, we see the Lord said to Moses, "When you return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have given you the power to do. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go." And we read that and we ponder at that quite a lot because hardening someone's heart just sounds so sad. Why would God say that? Especially after Moses was listing all of his anxieties about going back and God's like, it's fine. Like, I'm going to be there. Oh, but I'm going to harden his heart and make it even more difficult. And you know, that kind of is hard to hear. It's a bit like, oh, then why am I doing this? But it's very interesting because Jesus actually repeats this similar warning a couple different times later in the Bible. If we go to John 15, 19 through 20, it's very interesting because it says, "If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember what I have told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours as well. And then over to Matthew 10:17 through 19, it says, "Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say." And then a third time, Matthew 24, verse 9, it says, "Then you will be handed over and be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me." So why does Jesus say these things? I think when you're reading the Bible, there are so many encouraging messages, and then you get to this part, and the reality kind of hits you. God's not letting us go in blind about this. It's going to be difficult. And he doesn't mess with our choices because he loves us too much to do that. So he's very, very real with us. Sin is in the world, which means evil is in the world, which therefore means not everyone's going to choose God. And that's just the reality of it. Following him is never promised to be easy, but it is the reward that we are promised is worth it. And God knew first, and nothing ever surprises him. So again, God's timing is pretty much perfect, despite us not ever understanding everything. The Hebrews were enslaved by the Egyptians for years, through generations. And to God, a couple generations is like a blink of an eye to him. But in the middle of that, he knew each and every Hebrew there, and he knew their fears, their worries, their hurts, their anger. He heard their cries, and he loved them so much, despite that, because he knew he would free them eventually when the time was right. So how do we even deal with God's timing? We don't. Yeah, sorry. I wish there was like a really easy way to just kind of be like, sure, yeah, it's easy. But it's really not. We can't do anything about it. We can choose to not follow him. That is a choice we can make. But when following him, there's nothing we can do when he decides to break out of our box and do something different. But, again, good news, because God knows this. He knows us. When he made us, he knew exactly what we were going to deal with, what fears we were going to have, what anxieties we were going to go through, what the world was going to do. Yeah, that's kind of scary. But he knew, and he offers so much comfort. We literally have the Book of Psalms, biggest book in the Bible, so many emotions in the middle of that. So many emotions. David went through everything, and he was honest and open about it. And he spoke about God's character in all of that, too. Psalms 103, verses 10 through 18 actually says, "He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or pay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass, they flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows it over, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts." David wrote this, and he sat with God often, and so he knew God's character, and they had a very close relationship through that. This is who God is to us. He is our comfort and our rock that we do stand on when we go through something really hard. Because never once in the Bible does Jesus tack on, "You go it alone too after all these warnings." He never ever says that. He goes through everything with us. And that leads us also to probably, honestly, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, which is Isaiah 51. And the title It varies from version to version, but the title that I have is The Lord's Comfort for Zion. This whole chapter just expresses his love and his compassion for us. 51:3 actually says, "The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing." That's beautiful. I just love it. God is not always scolding to us. He is caring and really wants to help us so much. God's timing is always perfect, but he knows we will struggle with it. And every time we choose to put our trust and faith in him through it, he is literally so proud of us. And I think that is so cute because he's just so cute. I love him. And now I would like us to kind of just think for a minute and just kind of like look at your life, all the small stresses, big stresses, anxiety, areas we're procrastinating in because we don't want to think about it, speaking from experience. And I just want us all to just kind of look at them and then look at God and his timing. Because sometimes, to be honest, I don't want to let go and let God. I don't always want to do that because, and I have this argument with him where I'm like, well, God, if I give it to you, I'm just going to take it right back. And he goes, yes, I know, but that's the point. You give it to me. That's the choice that we are able to make each and every day. We wake up, I'm feeling a little grumpy. Give it to God, and he's going to do something wonderful, and he's going to show us all the little blessings. He's going to put a little cloud up there with like a little smiley face for you, or there's going to be a cute little flower in your favorite color on the side of the road. And when the minute we, because our brain is wired to reinforce what we think or say. So if we wake up and our immediate thought is, I'm grumpy. Great, this day is going to be awful. Then every little thing is going to irritate us. But if we wake up and we say, oh, I'm grumpy. Well, the sun rose. God made the sunrise. He let me wake up today. I get to impact someone's life today in a special way. The minute we make the decision to trust God despite our emotions and despite the world telling us that we are always in control, God is in control. And the minute we shift our focus to him, it's really incredible that to see like what he does every day. But don't mistake giving it to God with ignoring it, because that can be easy if we mix it up. And just give it to God and figure out what you're supposed to do on your end while letting God work through you. Because Moses also didn't want to let go and let God. He wanted God to leave him alone, to let him go back to shepherding the sheep, to his wife and his children, and he wanted God to just bless him in that area some more. Because Moses never returned. The minute he left the desert again to go back to Egypt, that was it. He took his people, and then they were in the desert for 40 years. And so that can be scary. The life that you build in times of rest, that the Lord blesses you in, sometimes we have to leave that in order for him to bless us in a new reality. So I just want to speak some life into you guys and just say that God put all of you here for a purpose. He has seen your life before he even put the heavens in the sky, and he loved you just as much then as he does now, even more now, actually. And God doesn't always calm the storm right away, like when we're in it, because the storm is where we grow. The storm is where we make the choice, whether to see God or to see ourselves. He has something to show us and something to help us grow. It's just a matter of letting him in, because he is always knocking, and it's very persistent, but it's never forceful, and it's very quiet, because God loves us too much to just force himself in. He wants us to choose him too. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you so much again for the time we spent together. Thank you for the people here that were so willing to just sit down and let me speak some life into them. Thank you also for giving us a choice in what we get to decide to do. You are very loving in that. And help us to have so much courage to open the door every day every second, the minute we feel like closing ourselves off. Help us to open it right back up and run to you. In your name we pray. Amen.